And it's about 1 minute now after 11 o'clock, and you're tuned to your public radio station, Red River Radio. A very, very good morning to you. Time for another spotlight here on Red River Radio. Joining me in the studio, Rich Lamb, who is the chairman of the board of the Cyport Discovery Center, one of the bright shining stars on the riverfront in downtown Shreveport. If you've not ever had the opportunity to see the building, you really can't miss it there on the parkway, right at the riverfront. So, Rich, first of all, good morning. Great to see you.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
And now, Cyport has undergone some difficulties over the past, I guess, a year or so, and the center has been closed for a while, although I guess it's open, at least part of it is open at this point.
Correct. And the problems that have occurred at Cyport have occurred over a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit each year went wrong, and things finally came to a head in late 2016, early 2017, resulting in the closure in early September 2017. And essentially what's happened, and there's a lot going out there and there's a lot of rumors, and let me tell you some facts.
Okay, great.
First off, the issues at Cyport. Cyport was originally built and funded with one-third government support, pardon me, primarily the city of Shreveport in the state of Louisiana, one-third admissions, and third part private donations.
Sure.
And as the government dollars dwindled, I'm not saying for bad reason, but dwindled, you know, the state and city have gone through some budget issues. The unrestricted funds that were used for payroll became less available. And to give you some perspective on that, our payroll for many, many years has been in excess of $2 million.
Okay. And how many employees is that?
The most recent, when we shut down, we had pardon me, the pollen's killing me. We were at 72 employees, and that's a lot. And so the inability, the using funds within Cyport's control to meet payroll was the temptation to use restricted funds, which ultimately led to use of restricted funds. And so that created problems, and it created a bad audit. And if you look at when we questioned management and things like that, they were able to say, one, you know, they had a lot of experience running places like this.
Sure.
Everyone is essential. We've cut all we could cut. Two, a paid consultant from Michigan, paid for by an unaffiliated foundation that's not affiliated with Cyport, said, y'all do not have enough people to run this place properly. And I will tell you, the board was absolutely astounded by that. And that was early January 2017. It's like, how is that possible? We have so many people. Our payroll seems too big.
Sure.
But again, we are relying on people who have experience running nonprofits, and we're relying on this consultant that said that goes and sees nonprofits all over the country.
Well, it's also, I mean, observationally, it's obviously a big place, and it has a lot of different segments, a lot of different departments, and a lot of different events that have been going on there. So one might make that assumption.
Absolutely. It's a very high maintenance facility. Mm-hmm. Not because of anything structural or anything like that. It's a 92,000 square foot specialized facility. We are running our own restaurant, our own gift shop. So in addition to maintaining the exhibits, we have two of the hardest industries to be in retail and the restaurant industry. And we also have people, many people don't realize, we have educational outreach where people go to schools and libraries and teach kids. And so we have that going on too. I mean, we had vehicles, trailers. We had a lot of stuff we had to manage, take care of, things like that. In fact, a lot of people don't realize that even since we closed down in September, our educational outreach team has still been fulfilling their duties and obligations.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're here. We realize that no matter what, this was not sustainable. And it came to a head. I mean, either the issue was going to be forced on us at some point, or we can make the call then and there.
Sure.
We also had some vacation policies and payment policies that we can't identify when they're approved by the board, because it seems that they may not have been approved by the board, including a very expensive vacation policy that made firing people that much more expensive. And so we finally decided, look, we got to shut this thing down. We got to kill this beast and restart if we want a science center in this location. And we did that, and we partnered with Planet Aqua Group through a management agreement, and they came up with some great ideas. And to give you some perspective on payroll, they came in, and they managed a lot of places, and said, if we opened everything we wanted to open, our dream budget, if we had access to all these funds, if we hired every single person we think we might need – our payroll would be at a max $1.5 million. So it never would have been that, but right. if they could, and that just gives you perspective of how bloated Soports was.
Sure.
And it was nice to have that from someone who actually had experience managing museums and educational attractions and sure. stuff like that. I mean, I'm a tax lawyer. I can't go in there and say how many people it takes to operate an exhibit. But we had to make that call, and we did have to say that as attorneys, business people, stuff like that, which just wasn't good going on anymore. And so we shut down truly believing that we were going to be able to reopen 12/31. Mm-hmm. And what we found was, and in full disclosure, the person to blame for that date is this guy right here, me. I was the one that convinced Planet Aqua Group that that should be the date because I wanted a new year, new start. They pushed for February, and a lot of the board members I convinced to approve the 12/31 date. So if there's anyone to blame for that, it's not necessarily the rest of the board or Planet Aqua Group, it's this guy. And so after we shut down and we started going through, you know, we didn't have the employees to go through every single physical file, but we started to, and we found some real landmines that were real problematic, and it made reopening and continuing improvement, stuff like that, just financially impossible.
Sure.
Because we had to disclose that to the people we were talking to about paying for this. And so in light of that, we suspended the agreement with Planet Aqua Group, didn't terminate it, because they were being hired to oversee a lot of employees and construction improvements. And since we weren't going to be able to do either, there was no reason to pay them anymore. And they understood that. And we're still on good terms with those folks. And that brings us to, that happened at the end of November. And since the end of November until the end of February, we had been doing nothing but trying to find people to back up our payroll for these key employees. I can't go to Gene Simpson and say, hey, give me one of your IMAX operators or one of your planetarium operators.
How many of them are around?
Yeah, yeah. And, or any employment agent, anywhere in Shreveport, you know.
Sure.
And so we had to keep these people, or it was going to delay us for possibly in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And so at the end of February, we got five donors, and one being all private except for DSDC, say, look, I don't want your money now, but just backstop us for several months so we can reopen with confidence that at least we're going to meet payroll.
Yeah.
And we got that, and I'm proud to say that, for example, DSDC, who was our fifth donor in line, so we'd go through the other four first, was expected to pay for March 23rd through 23rd. We're not even close to getting through the first donor, so we're no nearer to the fifth. We've had that good of admission numbers. And we've reopened POP, the Power Play Museum, which is was our newest attraction before we shut down, for kids 8 and under. And in the first 13 days of being open, and I don't have the data for 14, 15 yet, we've had 1,900 people come in. And that's just for kids 8 and under. We're reopening IMAX tomorrow for members and Friday to the general public. IMAX gave us a free movie, and they've been working with us. They want to see us succeed. They gave us a free movie on pandas, about pandas born into captivity and then released into the wild.
Right.
And then we have Journey to the South Pacific, about the ecological wonders of the South Pacific. So you got sea turtles, fish, all kinds of neat things. And that's great because while kids 8 and under can attend, we're now going to be attracting other demographics.
Right.
And we're not having to hire more people, and it's just, we're getting this stuff so we're able to maintain our employees, and now the board can shift its focus from what it's been doing since the end of November on to finalizing plans to reopen the rest of the facility.
So the I don't think I'm wrong about this, but it's still the only IMAX theater in the state of Louisiana.
It's the only domed IMAX theater.
Yeah, it's a dome theater, yeah. It is a great experience to be in there, and in fact, we have had the radio station. We've had some events that have taken place actually within that theater. But for those less familiar with it, I mean, Sideport has been here long enough that it's really kind of wrapped itself in the culture of the Northwest Louisiana community. And of course, people travel from all over to do it. But if you are a family person and you have kids, it's a great place to take kids, and that's how I think a lot of people perceive that. And you know, you have family memberships, and I don't know if you're continuing all of those the same way that you have in the past, but you know, there isn't another facility like this within an easy drive. I mean, you can go to Oklahoma City, or you can go to a few places that are further away, but for our particular region, it's unique, and I think that's one of probably one of the great reasons, now that you're reopened again, why you've been hit. But so many people, it's like, well, it's not there now. Now what do I do? Oh, it's back. Let's go.
we didn't intend to play the forbidden fruit card, but...
it works.
Yeah, exactly. And but I will say, the one thing, and I'm going to get into the memberships, the one thing that's unique about us as opposed to other activities in our region is the weather does not matter to us.
Oh, sure.
We are inside, and we are air-conditioned. And so we have some serious advantages. And also, we're going to have food trucks start coming. We're not going to reopen our cafe until we know what to do. And honestly, I'll tell everyone right now, the board is pretty much certain that we're going to outsource a cafe in the gift shop. Okay. We need to keep our science open. We need to be in the restaurant and retail business. That's hard enough. And so we're in the meantime, we're going to have food trucks come so patrons can go out there. Also, you know, one of the problems with food inside is it drains a lot of trash. And we have a limited crew right now. And we don't want to generate too much garbage or stuff, things that we have to dispose of. So we want to be practical with things and keep things very simple. But in terms of, we have the easiest parking in downtown. I'd say we're even easier than casinos. Mm-hmm. We're indoors. You're supporting a great community institution. And you get experience that you can't have anywhere else without driving very far. And honestly, like the Knock Knock Museum in Baton Rouge is real neat, but I think we're two or three times bigger. I mean, we're huge. And we also are the only state's only domed IMAX theater. And IMAX movies are 30 minutes. So if you come, you want to hang out. We get all overflow from the aquarium. If you want to come, go to the aquarium, come hang out with us, and then go hang out with us and go to the aquarium. It's great because we're building that synergy downtown that our city so really, really needs.
Right.
And we're keeping the anchor tenant of a very specialized facility that very few other things, if any, could take over if something happened to Cyport.
Sure.
Regarding memberships, this is very important. So people buy memberships for a calendar year, 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
When we shut down, we had a lot of people that still had remaining months on their memberships.
Sure.
Now, we can't go cut them checks as reimbursement for that. But what we can do is provide a few perks responsibly, like giving them the first day before we reopen a park. And then we're also giving all members free access to POP, even if their membership did not include that. also, unless your membership was for POP only, your membership is not tolling right now. In other words, if you had 6 months left on your membership and it was inclusive of the entire building, your 6 months is not, the clock's not ticking on that. You paid for the entire building, you're going to get the entire building.
Sure.
And if your membership includes free IMAX, you're going to have free IMAX. Now, if it doesn't, you got to pay. But we owe it to those people. And I know they're frustrated, and they ask a lot of questions in the fall, and sometimes we flat out just didn't have some answers because we were trying to figure out some stuff ourselves.
Yeah.
Because all the information we were given is the way I describe it, and this is the attorney in me, is it's the opposite of what the Constitution says. Everything's guilty until proven innocent. There's no due process on any data that came from Cyport.
Yeah.
And if people have questions about memberships, they should email membership at cyport.org. We want people to reach out to us, clarify what their membership level is, and clarify that we have the correct contact information for them.
Sure. Which does remind me, if you want to learn more about it, about Cyport in general, or to get the schedule for the mm-hmm. IMAX showings and all of that, they can go to your website, right?
Not right now. Our website is outdated. We're actually in the process of replacing
it. Okay.
And so do not rely on anything on the website other than the place is called Cyport and the address. But our Facebook page, because we can update it fast and it's free. We're using Facebook the best we can, and we're sending out press releases. And bear with us while we try to do that. You know, websites are expensive. So we went out and found ways to do it responsibly with some outside dollars that aren't Cyport dollars. So we can update, have a good website that without putting Cyport in any kind of financial distress.
Okay. So do it through Facebook. Is there a number that people can call?
There is, but I'll be honest, since we have a skeleton staff of employees, and I don't have that number at my fingertips, it's the same one that's online, but email is the best way. And what you'll see on the Facebook page and will be on the website, we've created different email addresses, and that way people hear from us in writing, and there's no confusion about what was said and things like
that.
And especially for the reservations, because we are offering group discounts. We are booking field trips. We're starting getting that going again, which is the most exciting part for me.
Right.
But you info@cyport.org. Reservations at cyport.org, membership at cyport.org, and if they have other questions, they can email me at chairman@cyport.org.
Okay.
And we want there to be a change, so no matter who's working, their successors or anyone else can go back and see what was said, what was done, and we can confirm stuff, because there's stuff we didn't know was happening at Cyport that happened once we got access to some calendars, we didn't have access to it. And so it's just, it was just one landmine after another like that. And just when you think you found the end of it, we find something else. But we're getting through that. We're being very slow on purpose. We want to be real methodical. As the person that encouraged a 12/31 deadline, I'm gun shy about promising things publicly right now. Other than we're doing our best, but we're gonna slowly get this thing back together because it has to be sustainable. It has to outlive all of us, all of our lifetimes.
Sure.
And we have some really dedicated board members that are putting their time and their money where their mouth is. I mean, it's about people really contributing. And you may hear some folks say, "Well, very few of the board members donate." Well, there's been a 90% turnover on the board in the past year and a half, 2 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of new people with private equity and venture capital backgrounds, finance backgrounds, education backgrounds. We've really brought on essentially some young Turks that can really help us get this thing going and redo it. And it's a very, very hard time-consuming process. It's hard for people to understand the dynamics of Cyport. And like you said, it's a big specialized facility.
Sure, yeah.
But one thing, we're not going to be irresponsible with this. We have to get this right. It's too important.
Right. So, it is very exciting, and you're moving forward with this. The big news at the moment, obviously, is that the IMAX theater opening, as you said, for members tomorrow, mm-hmm. and then for the general public on Friday. Do you happen to know what the show times are for the general public?
Since they're every since the shows are 30 minutes long, we're showing those two shows multiple times. And I believe, and I just posted on the Facebook page yesterday, I think it's 9:30. Starts at 9:30, and the last show is at 3:30. So throughout the day, you're going to have multiple options. It's not going to be once a day. And so it's going to be Thursday through Sunday. Not this Thursday, but starting next week, it'll be Thursday through Sunday. And people ask me what they can do to help. And right now, I'm not going to ask anybody for any money, unless it's for the payroll, because we don't have our plan in place yet. Mm-hmm. That includes loans, if you've been following the news. Let me make that very clear. Come to Cyport and enjoy it. Come buy a ticket. Take your family. Remember how important this is. You know, my family's been in Shreveport forever, and I never plan on leaving. And I want to make, I'm on public radio, dang sure, that I don't drive past an empty building that looks terrible downtown in our community.
Right.
And so we got a lot of people thinking the same way. And if you want to help, go to Pop, go to IMAX. That's the best thing you can do right now. Show the public that the community and the world that you still care about this and want to go enjoy it and want to see it in your home.
Sure. And Cyport, you know, talking about buildings downtown is certainly one of the sterling examples of something that really stands out. And it's a beautiful building. I mean,
it's about to be power sprayed. We got someone to donate that too.
Oh, well, excellent.
no more pictures with dirt on it.
Well, Rich Lamb, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you, Kermit.
Is the chairman of the board of Cyport, and you've had a tough job over the last couple of years, but it sounds like you're making great progress, and we wish you the best.
We're doing the best we can. Thank you.
And if you're with an organization, you have something coming up, you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, get in touch with us at 800-552-8502.